This is the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. I am your host. I am Stuart Howe. And this is show number 40 for the White Rose Resistance Hour here on RBN. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I really appreciate y'all being here. Whether you're listening live or on a rebroadcast or through one of the other places that the show goes out, I want to welcome you. I hope you had a good week. I hope everybody's doing okay, getting through all the craziness in the world. And it is it's a wild ride these days. It is just astounding. Every time I take a look at what's going on, especially in other parts of the world, when I look at what our brothers and sisters are enduring down in Australia and New Zealand, and even a couple miles north of me in Canada. I'm in the northern United States here. I'm in northern Idaho, and it is a beautiful place. And most of the time, you would never know there's anything going on. People here are very resistant to BS, and it's a wonderful place to be. This is not the only wonderful place to be, definitely, but I'm just very grateful to be up here, and I'm grateful to have this show to share with you guys, especially because I've had some great guests on, and today I have another one for you. It's a wonderful gentleman. My producer will let us know when we have him on with us. His name is Sam Bushman. And he's been involved in the goings-on of the world. He has been researching, and he's been active in bringing some solution and bringing some understanding on various aspects of these rollouts, you know, this ongoing rollout from 9/11 through this, that, and the other, false flag, all these contingents, you know, that we're dealing with. And he's a great guy. He's another referral from our mutual friend, Casey Whalen. Casey, if you're listening, thank you, brother. Thank you for your hard work and your wonderful content. Casey has a plethora of amazing content on his YouTube channel. That channel is North Idaho Exposed. That's on YouTube. So if you go to YouTube and, you know, do a search for North Idaho Exposed, you'll see all of Casey Whalen's really great content, and he's been instrumental in helping me get some wonderful guests on here to share with you. So I applaud you guys for making it through another week and for being back with us here today on RBN. And I've got our guest, Sam Bushman, on the line with us. Sam, are you there?
I am absolutely here and delighted to join you guys. Hope you're doing fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good to have you here, Sam. Hey, you know what? I sung your praises a little bit, but just in general, if you could, we've got a long segment here. We're going to go about 18 minutes here until 20 after. And if you could just introduce yourself to our audience, please.
Absolutely. So I'm a long-time syndicated talk show host, just so you kind of get my background. I'm a totally blind person, blind since birth. And when I was a little kid, I used to listen to Wolfman Jack on a transistor radio, howling from Mexico on a big 100,000-plus watt radio station. And I would listen to the radio while my brothers and friends and stuff would play baseball, literally about 5 years old when this all was happening. And I thought, man, I could be like that guy. I could do that, you know? That'd be killer. I'd love it. And so my mom checked into broadcasting school, and they're like, forget it, kid. It's like being a rock star. You'll never make it. So we gave up on that idea. And I grew up, and I went to college, and I was going to get a degree in psychology. But then I started taking some psychology classes, and I realized that, man, some of these abnormal psychology classes, these people are freaking crazy. So I decided I didn't really want to do that, but I didn't know what I was going to do. However, somebody came to me one day, and they said, hey, Sam, as a blind person, you'd love computers, man. If you got a computer, you could scan all these books, and you could read all these cool things. And so I thought that was a good idea, and I bought myself a computer. And I started to play with it, and before you know it, I knew more about computers and got along with computers better than people. And so I was hanging out in the computer labs in college because there was girls there, man. And the girls liked to have help with their computers, and so I was helping the girls with their computers. It was great. And all of a sudden, this guy walks up to me and he says, hey, man, you're pretty good at this. Do you want a job? I said, well, I don't know. What does it pay? He said, it doesn't pay a lot, but you'll learn. You're going to hang out with the girls, and you don't even have to leave college campus to do it. And I said, sure. So I took the job. And then later, my professor came to me and he said, hey, you're really good at this stuff. And I'm a Navy ship IT guy. And when the Navy goes, I leave for 3 months and 6 months at a time. And so I'm gone. And I just teach. I'm an adjunct teacher when I'm around. But then I leave. But I've got a bunch of clients in the business world. Will you take my clients for me while I'm gone? And I said, well, I don't know. How much does it pay? Oh, like 4 to 6 times what you're getting paid now. I said, okay, I'll do it. Well, the long story short, I never got my degree in psychology, but I did get experience in IT, and I became an IT guy. And I've been in IT now for literally 30-plus years. And I own a company called Small Business Tech Guys, where I do security and IT services for other companies. And I have employees that work for me in this IT company that I own. In the meantime, I've been a network radio guy forever. So back in 91, 92, Bo Greitch was running for office to be president of the United States. Many people don't know Bo Greitch because it was a long time ago. But when he was running for office, well, I got involved in his campaign with a friend of mine named Kirk Crosby. And a long story short, we were listening to radio at night, and there was some incredible talk show hosts on. Chuck Harder for the People was one of them. And another guy was by the name of Jerry Hughes, who did a radio program called Washington on Trial. And I really liked that term. And when I heard these guys, I thought, these guys are nuts. And they need to be thrown in jail, or they're right, and they need to be promoted. And so I did a bunch of research, found out they were right, and decided to promote them. So then what happened is we asked the radio station owner that we heard this on late at night, hey, could you put this on in the day? He said, no, I don't think so. All I do is turn on the satellite, and I go home. I don't even know what you're talking about. And so we explained to him. We said, can you put it on in the day? And he said, no, won't do it. We said, we'll pay you. He said, okay. So that's how I got my start in the radio business back in the early 90s. And we paid this guy, and we ran commercials to fund the show. And so we went out and found sponsors, and we would basically run the commercials and then pay afterwards. And then one day the guy came to us, and he said, you got to pay in advance now. We're like, why? Because I say so. I want the money in advance now. I said, well, we've always paid you. I don't see why you'd worsen our terms. He said, that's just the way it is. So he kind of pissed me off, and so we decided that, you know what, he who owns the media makes the rules, man. Kind of like he who owns the gold makes the rules, he who owns the media makes the rules.
Right.
And so we literally started looking for a radio station. Well, I had just built a house with my wife and I, because I made a living in IT, right? And all of a sudden this one guy says to us, I own a bunch of radio stations, and I'll sell you one if you're serious. And so it became time to quit talking and complaining and to pull the trigger. Well, we wanted $120,000 at the time for this radio station, and we didn't have the money cash. And anyway, long story short, I sold my house, man, and I moved my family, and Kirk Crosby, my buddy, moved his family, and we literally moved 100 miles away, bought this radio station, and learned how to run it by the School of Hard Knocks. I ran and owned an AM radio station for 10 years. And then sold it and went into nationally syndicated radio. And now I do a syndicated radio show called Liberty Roundtable Live, and we're celebrating our 25th year anniversary in radio this year. And so I've been at it for a long time. We've done a show since the early 90s. We've been on the air a little bit before that. I bought my station in 96, sold it in 2006, and I've been in radio since the early 90s. And if I can learn anything about radio, it's this. And if any listener understands this, it would be the Republic Broadcasting listener. Because John Stadtmiller has educated the audience so well on this point, which is, listen, he who owns the media makes the rules. If you guys want real news coming your way, you've got to fund it. So I learned that advertisers, they'll either do one of two things. They'll either control you and control what you say, or they will drop you like a rock. We also learned that he who owns the media makes the rules. And if you want to own the media, it's hard. It's expensive. And no one will help you. And so that's kind of my story of how I got into radio. And then along the way, as you know, being a radio station owner, being a hardcore advocate of liberty as I am, rejecting the Republican and the Democratic duopoly, you get criticism. And advertisers run. Because what you say, they're just not comfortable with. They don't want to put their name on it. Then you start getting attacked by the government. So when I owned a radio station, I literally had the FCC, the USDA, and the IRS, all three attacked me at the same time. Wow. And I weathered all that and beat all those people. And now I'm on the radio and they leave me alone. So that's who I am. The radio program is very simple. It's a constitutionally, nationally syndicated talk show. And if it's constitutional, we like it. And if it's not, we hate it. And that's who we are, and that's what we do. And for some of the listeners who have been around for a long time, I've been on the Republican Broadcasting Network as a host for quite some time in the past. And I'm friends with John Stadtmiller to this day. And my response about John is, we're so sorry to lose a patriot like John. Rest in peace, John Stadtmiller, my brother. And that's what I mentioned on my show earlier today, and that's what I say now. A dear friend, we've lost a real patriot in the movement, and heaven has gained a patriot, and we the people have lost a patriot. But I have faith that he'll be supporting us and blessing us and working for the same causes on the other side. So that's the good news, sir. That's my summary. Hopefully it didn't take too long.
No, that is awesome. That is awesome, and, you know, I have to echo what you said about John. I mean, wonderful guy, you know, strong-minded guy, and we had a short talk. I had never done radio other than being a guest here and there because of my exploits, and I emailed him about doing a show, and we had a short chat, because I'm putting you on. And that, to me, is, you know, that's the mark of a leader and a strong man who can, based on his, you know, assessment and his take on things, can just go ahead and make an executive decision and give somebody a shot. And I'm so appreciative of that. And, you know, everything that he's done and, you know, the influence he's been on you is wonderful, too. It's what a story. You have come into radio a lot differently than I have. But, you know, I am very, very curious that path that you took to where you are now. At what point, because you're an educated guy and a smart guy and able to assess things critically, at what point did you start to smell a rat with the basic structure of our governmental, our corporate and media institutions, and that they were in lockstep and indeed conspiring against us, that, you know, they are absolutely con artists? How did that awakening for you take place, and to what degree might you have been resistant to it? So I think it would help a lot of people that are, either aren't facing that yet, or are about to, or have. But what was that experience like really beginning to come to grips and see the scale on which we're being deceived?
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A lot of people call us the Mormons. But we're really, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I don't tell you that to preach religion today. I tell you that because it gives you maybe an understanding of how I got kind of raised on the Constitution. The Mormons believe that in the latter days, or the end times, that the Constitution for the United States of America will hang by a thread. That's what one of our former prophets said. That it would hang by a thread, meaning that everybody would be, for the political expediency and everything else, it would be destroying all that we hold dear for expediency, for power, for prestige, etc. And so we believe that in the end times, righteous people that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and a group of righteous patriots that are not members of that church will work together to save America from complete destruction. And so I grew up with that kind of understanding as a Mormon. Well, then there was a prophet years and years ago who's passed away now, but his name was Ezra Taft Benson. And Ezra Taft Benson was also the Secretary of Agriculture in the Eisenhower administration. And he talked about the Great Conspiracy to a great degree and talked about it so evil that it desires to overthrow all countries. And he spoke of that, and he wrote several books. And those books are, one of them is called An Enemy Hath Done This. And in that book, for example, he writes that one day the American people will realize they've been played for suckers, and they will call a halt to the con game and shut down the Social Security system, for example. Okay? He also wrote several other books, and many of them were, one of them is called The Constitution, A Heavenly Banner. And he basically talks about the Constitution as the great, let's call it the political religion of our nation, if you will. It is the great way that men can live free by obedience to that supreme law. So he wrote a book called An Enemy Had Done This, another one called A Heavenly Banner. And he spoke very publicly during the Eisenhower administration. And he spoke to huge groups of people back in Washington. And it literally called them on the carpet for their shenanigans and their dishonesty and their conspiracy. And he warned against communism. And he, on the Eisenhower administration, was forced to meet with Gorbachev and some of these wicked communist leaders. And he basically said, he told the story, that he would not have ever met with Gorbachev. He would not have met with these communist leaders. But he was forced to because he worked for the administration back in the day. And so he highlighted his meetings with these communists and how evil they were and how these godless institutions, how they would one day, they said, we don't have to fight you to win. They told him this during his meetings with them. We don't have to fight you to win. We'll just spoon feed you little bits of socialism until one day you'll wake up and fall over like ripe fruit. You'll be a communist nation without even firing a shot. And he warned of that back in the 60s. And so I got my education about this from these kind of people who taught the sacred cause of liberty, taught the principles of the Republic, like Republic Broadcasting is named so aptly after. And I learned about the checks and balances in America. And then I studied by a guy by the name of Cleon Skousen, who was a well-known constitutionalist. And I was friends with him and read his books. And one thing led to another, and then I was kind of off on my own. And I've got 8 children, and we've homeschooled every single one of them. And so I became a great homeschooler. And so I got into this stuff kind of a step at a time, but really from the cradle I was taught these principles of liberty, and that it's about the principle of agency, and one must be able to choose, and how communism is destructive of those ends. And how we need to. And so as I learned and learned and grew and studied, I read books. And I read None Dare Call It Conspiracy back in the day. And then I read Creature from Jekyll Island, and I understood the con of the Federal Reserve. And I had the opportunity just this last, several months ago, to go to the Red Pill Expo with G. Edward Griffin, literally in Jekyll Island, and see, I literally pounded on the door where they had that meeting back in 1913, where Congress betrayed and committed treason and created a fiat money system. This is the destruction of really all that we hold dear in the end. The Federal Reserve is the key to their dishonest conspiracy shenanigans. And so that's kind of how I got my understanding as it unfolded, and it just continues today.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, you mentioned a couple of pieces of writing that I think are absolutely key. And if there's anybody out there that has not read None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen, I strongly recommend that they, you know, go out of their way if they need to and find a copy of that book, because the perspective that that puts this conspiracy in, I believe it was written, was it in the mid-50s, somewhere in that time frame? And it's just amazing the way that it's laid out. And, you know, it just is incredible. That, you know, that book, if somebody were to read that book along with The Creature from Jekyll Island, they would be, you know, among intellectual elite compared to most people that are out there watching Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow. You know, it's an astonishing array of information. Anyway, we're going to pick this up in a minute. We're going to break right now. Show number 40 of the White Rose Resistance Hour, and we will be right back with our guest Sam Bushman on RBN.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belong to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son, if your pants were undone, 'cause you were bred for humanity and sold to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day, a million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day. So as you push off from the shore, won't you turn your head once more and make your peace with everyone? For those who choose to stay, who will live just one more day to do the things they should have done. And as you cross the wilderness, suspending in your emptiness, you really have to.
All right. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to show number 40 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. And I've got our guest, Sam Bushman, on the line. Sam, that is an amazing.
And we're digging the Jethro Tull, brother.
You like that? I mean, you know, anybody
I dig it.
Wolf, if you dig Wolfman Jack, I mean, you got to love Jethro Tull, right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
I come out of that same era. I was born in 1959, and so I remember the glory days of FM radio, and you know the banner years of AM and whatnot. So, yeah, we've made it through a lot, you and I, and I'm so appreciative of your wealth of knowledge and understanding and technical abilities. And let's move a little bit into events that have rolled out. And how was it for you seeing things like 9/11 roll out and seeing the media's complicit nature of their, you know, how involved they were in getting that whole thing to stand? You know, whether it's, the denial of geoengineering or the denial of the truth of 9/11 or now with this COVID thing, which we can get into. How has it been for you having background training in psychology to see this, basically what I would propose is mass-induced psychosis through the media in respect to all these different events, which, of course, constitute a rollout, an agenda, and a mass psychological operation. Please, I'd love to hear your take on that and how the events played out for you personally.
Yeah, so a couple of things to note. Since I was raised from the cradle to believe the conspiracies were real, and there's a difference between conspiracy theory and conspiracy fact. And I submit to you that the conspiracies we speak of are factually documented. 66 Ways from Sunday, Till the Cows Come Home, we've documented many of the conspiracies. The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin, for example, documents the shenanigans in 1913 to the nth degree. It's not debatable, for instance. And so I understood these conspiracies and was not surprised at all on 9/11. And each time something massive happens, like COVID, the big fraud, like 9/11, the false flag, as I see these events, I just realize the conspiracy that's factual, led by Satan himself and his dishonest for-profit minions, they are ratcheting it up to the next level. And so I saw it as nothing more than, hey, as liberty-minded Americans wake up, they ratchet to the next level out of desperation. And so I literally was on the air when 9/11 unfolded. I reported live as the planes literally supposedly hit the Pentagon and as planes literally hit the trade towers. And I watched all day and reported the next day as Building 7 fell. And I interviewed people like Stephen Jones from Brigham Young University, who lost his job because he stood up against the communist conspiracy, because he stood up against the deep state or the shadow government or whatever term you want to use modern day for the same thing. But and so as these unfolded, I knew right from the very start that it was a fraud, reported on the air live the events, and very shortly thereafter was able to expose a lot of the things going on. So you look at 9/11, you look at flight TW-800, you look at the Oklahoma City bombing, you know, Kenneth Trenadue lost his life after the Oklahoma City bombing. And there's a link there that's interesting, but his brother Jesse Trenadue was from Utah. And Jesse Trenadue was an attorney, and he literally exposed the fraud that went on with his brother. They literally murdered his brother, and he caught him at it. And I used to interview Jesse Trenadue about the Kenneth Trenadue story related to the Oklahoma City TW Flight 800 bombing. And I used to interview J.D. Cash and some of these people that knew a lot about the Oklahoma City bombing and reported on it. I used to interview all kinds of different people about these things that have unfolded. And every time, all it is evil men ratcheting up their agenda. Their goal is tyranny. And they're getting desperate now in modern times. So the COVID, they foisted that on us. I don't believe it was a accidental leak, and I don't believe that it was an animal transfer. I believe it was intentionally made in a lab, and I'm convinced it was intentionally released. You say, Sam, how do you get there? How can you document that? And I would say that circumstantial evidence is obvious. When they prevent us from getting ivermectin, when they prevent us from having oxygen, for goodness sakes, they literally have oxygen as a controlled substance to where you have to have a prescription to get oxygen. And they say, well, the hospitals are filling up. Everybody's dying. We got to stop this. Well, then why keep oxygen as a controlled substance? What's oxygen going to do to you, right? Except save your life, maybe? But all the while, when we want ivermectin and oxygen and many of the other solutions, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin K, and they literally shut those avenues down for us. then whether they're part of it in terms of full knowledge or not, it makes no difference. They're carrying out the conspiracy-style cabal. But we've caught them at it, we're exposing it, and they're desperate. And so now they continue to ratchet up that dishonest agenda. And so to me, what I see here is, you know what? In the Bible, it talks about how the truth of all things shall be shouted from the rooftops, etc. And we kind of gain an understanding that these people will be exposed. And if you believe in Washington's vision, George Washington's vision, angels help the righteous, and we win in the end. And so to all these folks that are creating these conspiracies, these false flags that are factually documented, I don't have time for those who believe their theories anymore. We're beyond that these days. It's too in-your-face and too obvious. But as these people have desperation for their tyranny, they're going to lose. And it's a matter of which side, who's on. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the side of right and honesty and truth. And I can handle and will be a truth teller till the day I die. So that's kind of my summary of my experience with those events as they've unfolded, sir.
Awesome. Amen. Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of different ways to be on the side of truth, justice, and the American way. You know, along with God, there's a bunch of different religions. There's all kinds of ways of faith. But, you know, I'm a big fan of anybody who is appreciative of truth and justice and principles, you know, and decency. And the way that those principles are spelled out in the Constitution is just absolutely phenomenal.
I'm also a big fan, just to be clear, of, you know what, anybody who is working on this in their own way, religious or not, whatever religion you come from, whatever experience, value set you bring to the table to advocate for liberty, I'm a libertarian in that regard, in the sense that, you know what, I welcome one and all to stand together and work together, despite any theological differences or any personal differences or experiential differences we have. You know what, we're all working together. And I believe God can take those little small efforts by me and many others and do big things with them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe probably as you do too, we're all guided. Once we decide to align with those principles, we're guided by you know, maybe the same thing in different ways, and maybe it's the same sunlight of the Spirit shining through different prisms that we are. And I'm sure you know, a lot of people out there, maybe even yourself also, will agree that once you start, you know, making an effort to align yourself with that and doing the right thing, and, you know, maybe telling the truth when it's a little less comfortable, there might be something, you know, for you to lose. You know, we start to feel empowered, and we move even more in that direction, and we're directed more by Spirit, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I'm a little bit perplexed. We should have had a break coming up. We might hear the music coming in unexpectedly, so that happens. We've got one more short break than a nice long segment on the other side.
Or it's possible that the content was so fascinating the board op couldn't even remember the break. Hopefully that's the case.
That's got to be it. They're sitting there mesmerized, just gobsmacked. Absolutely. That must be it. I mean, both of us on the air. I mean, come on. It's got to be it, right? Just kidding, of course. You know, we're just two guys doing our best to be part of this team, and it's a wonderful thing. I'm honored that you could join me here. And everybody out there, too, you are on the same page with us, and we appreciate that.
And that's why I'm so grateful for the Republic Network. I own a network myself, believe it or not. And, you know, you can look at it as competition, or we can look at it and say, look, we need more truth tellers. The more truth tellers we have, the better. And I'm grateful for the Republic Broadcasting Network, for the legacy that John Stattmiller has set forward, and I'm grateful to hear. I was worried about what was going to happen to the network, and I'm told that it's in good hands and things will be progressing nicely. So that's exciting to hear, in my opinion.
Yeah, isn't it a wonderful venue? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. You know, it's great, the collection of talent that's here. You know, I feel honored to be part of that, and I'm so appreciative of that. Now, we've got an interesting thing happening here, it seems to me, and because of your background in psychology, maybe you could speak to this a little bit. We may be interrupted by a break, I'm not quite sure, that there's a percentage of people in our country and in the world that are right there with us, that are in some phase of waking up and standing up. I love seeing that firefighters are getting together, the people in the healthcare profession are getting together, people in the airlines and banding together and saying, no, we are not taking this injection that you're calling a vaccine. We smell a rat. We can see that this is in lockstep being rolled out in order to facilitate some sort of a reset. We can feel it satanic. Whatever the you know, the exact perception of it is, a lot of people are standing up and banding together. But my question is, it seems like on the other side of that, there is a percentage, it's hard to get a read on how big or how small it is, that have just decided to double down on the fantasy that the government is there to help us, that the media is doing their best to tell the truth, and that they're just going to comply. And I'm wondering how it is, or what your take is on how that's being accomplished, and whether, you know, how much effort should be put into waking people up. I kind of don't even like to try anymore to some degree, unless somebody expresses some genuine open-mindedness, but there really seems to be a mass-induced psychosis. And it's just an amazing thing. I think we're seeing a polarization, that the people that are drawn towards goodness and justice and honesty are moving more in that direction. And the people that have dug their heels in and decided they just don't want to hear the truth, they don't want to know, are just, you know, they're the ones wearing masks and scowling. And, you know, what's your take on that? You know, that whole psychological component of this reality.
I think it is a psychosis primarily driven by panic and fear, which is what Satan wants. I think that Joel Skousen, I don't know if you know much about Joel, but he writes the World Affairs Brief. WorldAffairsBrief.com is his website. He joins me on the Radio Monthly. Strategic Relocation is one of his books. That's exactly right. Anyway, Joel Skousen, in one of his World Affairs Briefs, he wrote a 19-page dissertation that, in my opinion, really breaks this down. And what's fascinating about it is he wrote it before COVID even hit.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. But in that dissertation, he basically talks about the still small voice that every one of us has. We all have the light of Christ. And if we listen to that still small voice from God, then it grows within us. And our ability to read it and interpret it and act and obey or take its counsel increases. And if we squelch it and do not obey it and ignore it and push it aside, and whether it be for money or fame or fortune or whatever it be, then that voice will start to diminish in our lives. And if we squelch it enough, we won't even be able to hear it anymore. We won't be able to feel it or hear it. It's such a small voice, you almost feel it as much as hear it, he says. And in this 19-page dissertation, he talks about you can foster it and let it grow and be your guide and your savior and to protect you and care for you, or you can squelch it and shut it off. And eventually you get past feeling, is what he calls it, to where you can't understand and you can't recognize when that spirit's speaking to you. Eventually you just shut it off. And I kind of think to a great degree what's happening is Americans have done that. They've either fostered that and the warning signals in their heart and in their minds through this still small voice are warning them that something is not right and I need to take action to correct it. I need to pray. I need to clean my inner vessel and repent to God and change. I need to obey this prompting that I'm getting. People say all over the country in modern day right now, just like our founding fathers did, I don't know how this is happening, but I know there's an unseen hand guiding it. The founding fathers talked about that, and they knew that God was at the helm leading their efforts to preserve and protect and push for liberty. And we're starting to feel that in our day. I talk to people all over the country of different religions, different backgrounds, different races. It doesn't matter. And they feel that, and they say, I don't know, there's something here that has drawn me to the liberty movement. I've got, what more can I do, Sam? How can I get involved? What can I do? I'm concerned at the same time, but I have peace when I work on these things that are of a liberty nature. And others say, you guys are crazy. You're whacked out. If you don't believe in global warming, we should put you in jail. You're a criminal. And as they pick sides, you begin to see there are those who have listened to that still small voice and embraced it. And it has become a very important guidance in their lives, almost a central focus, that still small voice, clarity from God, if you will. And those people are willing to let God prevail in their lives as they fight for the sacred cause of liberty. Then others have simply shut it off. Some are having a hard time hearing it. Some won't hear it at all because they've shut it off so early in their life, so often in their life, with criminal behavior, with violations of God's laws, with desire to have the public's attention, whether it be fame or fortune or whatever. And so you're getting these two camps, and I submit to you, the division will only grow. I wish it weren't so. I wish we could have civility, And I advocate for civility. In fact, in 2015, I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility. It's at my website if you want to find it, but it's libertyroundtable.com. But I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility, and I basically wrote it to newsmakers and media personnel and everything. And I basically said, hey, listen, we're divided every 6 ways from Sunday. We need to come together and stop it. And here's how we can work on it. And at the end of the article I wrote, you know, it's kind of like what they said in Voltaire. I may not agree with what you say, but I agree that you have the right to say it. And I will defend your right to say it to the death. It isn't me agreeing with what you say. It's your right to say it that's at stake. Because once we lose your right to say it, I lose my right to say it or think it or believe it or advocate for it. And so I bring that up to say that division is occurring. And I think Joel Skousen has nailed the psychological discussion that's the underpinnings of what's happening and why.
Well, I would love to read that. I mean, if you could direct us or me.
If you go to joelskousen.com, it is on his website.
And what is it listed as?
I'd have to look at the exact title, but it has something to do with listening to the still small voice. Let me see if I can find it and give you the exact title. But I know it's on joelskousen.com, and it's free, and it's a PDF. And it is a dissertation that he wrote that I find very, very spot on, if you will.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that concept because it's something that I've been kind of directed by spirit to contemplate and to try and understand, you know, that these people have a right to go their own way. If they want to live in ignorance and subservience, that is, you know, part of us all having free will. And, you know, I love that most of us, I believe, are actually leaning towards justice and decency. And the things that our founders knew were required. They said that this form of government is not...
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to get this out. It's called the Still Small Voice of Conscience.
Of conscience, okay.
The beautiful. Still Small Voice of Conscience. And I don't think that I did it justice by kind of paraphrasing it, but it's at joelskousen.com. There's no way for me to take the incredible writing from Joel Skousen that's 19 pages and boil it down on the radio and give it to you. But he talks about different things like ignoring interruptions. He talks about there's 4 different main focuses he has that can help you nurse this, if you will, in your life. And it's like planting a tree. You've got to do the right things to make it grow. Or you can do things that can shut it off and kill it. I'm not doing it justice, but that is what it is, and it's available now. And I'm telling you that he's nailed, in my opinion, what's at the core of this psychosis. Those who have turned to God have a peace, have a purpose, have a stability in their lives and a comfort and a I'm about my Father's business kind of an attitude. Those who have kind of squelched that and who are not about those things are in a panic. They're in a fear. They're into force. Do you want free choice, free will, or force? And the battle lines are becoming very clear. And from a psychological point of view, if you're not decisive, if you haven't decided which side you're on, then you're the metaphor is you're in the middle of the road getting hit by traffic going both directions. You've got to pick your side. And once you do, you will double down and become more evil, more abusive, less caring of those around you. And if you go the way that I would beg for people to go, you'll become more caring, more concerned about your fellow beings, more concerned about the principles that make this nation great, more concerned about God and his laws, family, the traditional family, and country, and based on which side you pick. But if you choose not to decide, you can't stay on neutral ground forever. You'll get hit by traffic going both directions. You cannot stay neutral very long.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've pondered quite a bit. I don't believe enough people understand that not acting is an action, that choosing to just not get involved is actually siding with evil.
It's like the old Rush song, if you choose not to decide, you have still made a choice.
That's right. And the only thing necessary for evil to flourish is for good people to stand by and do nothing about it. And so, yeah, I think, I don't think a lot of people really understand how much of a consequence that has for our souls, if they just sit by idly and let the lies, you know, permeate society and don't call people out on it. You know, I love to hear somebody pull the covers on, a liar or a con artist, and I've had a little bit of experience doing that myself, which has been fun.
And you can do so with civility, though, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll give you a quick example. You know, you can say F Joe Biden, or Kamala's a whore, which are both chants going across the country in big stadiums. I don't believe that's an appropriate way to call a halt to the con game. Number one, it's very offensive. It degrades and coarsens society. I don't know that it's of much value. But if we were to say return to paper ballots, honesty is the issue. And we were to focus on slogans that actually had traction for solutions, I personally think we would do a lot better, and we would hold the moral high ground as we did so.
Absolutely, I agree. End the Fed on that note.
Yeah. Amen. That's a great slogan. End the Fed is a perfect one. Yeah. And I know Ron Paul, who I would say that I'm probably more like Ron Paul than any other so-called politician. I'm probably more like Ron Paul in my libertarian and my constitutional views than any other person in modern day, right? G. Edward Griffin and Ron Paul are probably two of the closest aligned to my thinking as anybody on the planet you can find.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I had a unique opportunity. I feel very blessed. I got to actually chat with Ron Paul and his lovely wife and his campaign manager after the first big presidential debate that he was in years ago. Maybe it was 2006 or 7. I was doing my best to help with the 9/11 truth movement, and we were out at the site of the debate, and he was so impressed that there were so many 9/11 truth people and supporters out there. He asked us to put word out through his assistants that he wanted to meet with all of us at a big restaurant afterwards. And so we went to this big restaurant with big area. And he came in, and I was able to sit with him and chat with him and chat with them. And it's just he just was an amazingly wonderful, good guy, very solution-oriented, very practical spirituality, you know. And I just loved the guy. He just was such a great guy. I was able to chat with him briefly again a couple years later. And I've got to agree with you. You know, the solution-oriented, you know, kind-mannered approach is definitely a much better way to go. I'm not one to be, flying a flag from my back bumper of my pickup truck saying F Joe Biden. Although that sentiment may exist to a little bit, it's not
I get and tap into the frustration and the anger that is the catalyst for that, and I support that anger and frustration completely. What I don't believe is that we should lose the moral high ground by our actions. And I think that Ron Paul has set the standard. He's been a humble guy his whole life. He's been highly educated his whole life. He has stayed with principle his whole life. He's not perfect, but in my opinion, none of us are. But he's really, in my opinion, I would say this, the best foot forward is a modern-day founding father that you can find. I'm not saying he's the only one. I'm just saying that he's one that, look, he went back to Washington. They didn't break him down and make him compromise. They didn't get him to cater to their agenda. He stood alone more than not. But he was a tenacity in doing so, but yet humble. His delivery was hard on facts and short on rhetoric, but yet he delivered with such confidence and poise. Others would say he wasn't the most eloquent orator. My response to that would be simple. The truth doesn't need great orators. The truth just needs itself.
And
Ron Paul was able to deliver that in a very meaningful way.
I remember going to rallies, with tens of thousands of people when he was running, and standing ovations and college students everywhere and people from every walk of life, every color, every nationality, every spiritual faith. What he had to say really resonated. And I think, that was one of the things that really turned me around, is watching how the media in lockstep demonized him and marginalized him, and outright lied and omitted his numbers and then I think they must have completely stolen the election from him. And that was amazing to see.
Well, we know they did, because we know in Republican venues, they literally, when Ron Paul was going to win, they literally would turn out the lights and prevent the vote from continuing. They would literally break people's arms and fingers and things like that at some of the conventions. And they intentionally, that was vote fraud back then. People think vote fraud's a new and up and coming thing. Look, vote fraud's been going on for a long time. And as people like Ron Paul run for office and they have the backing of the people, because as Ron says, freedom is popular, they're desperate. And you could see their desperation even back then. Ron Paul ran three times, one in 88 as a Libertarian, and then the first time you talked about in 06 and then 12 or whatever. But they knew Ron was a real threat, and if literally they would have been honest and fair, Ron would have won. And they know
Absolutely.
It. And it was the only way they have to stop him is to mock him, call him a racist, call him a conspiracy theorist, call him a whatever, and then literally, even though he's gaining ground there, do things to simply make the momentum stop. It reminds me of a basketball game. And I might knee in the nuts when you're coming down the court. Well, next time it's not as easy for you to score, is it?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that of what they did to Ron Paul.
Yeah, very true. Very true. You know, the thing that I take away from that is that sentiment that existed, that overwhelming majority of America that his message resonated with. You tie that together with there are big polls done after 9/11. Apparently, about one third of Americans, 100 million people, did not believe the government was telling the truth about 9/11.
And well, I'd say that number is nothing but increased now.
Yeah. So that sentiment is there, and I think it's going to be the undoing of the powers that shouldn't be when this great number of Americans coalesce behind resistance to this global tyranny that's rolling out. And we may be interrupted by a break, but if you could, I'm hoping we can get into a solution and you can let us know a little bit about one of the wonderful things that I think you're involved with, which is the constitutional sheriffs.
You got it, sir.
Yeah. I mean, lead into that any time, and we may be interrupted by a break. Interrupted, you'll hear the music come up if that's the case, but that to me is an exciting thing because
solutions matter, ladies and gentlemen, and our work is critical. And I know it feels like we work, and we get nothing accomplished, and I know it feels that way, but I don't believe that's really the truth. I think that's the way they want us to feel. But it's not the truth. When Ron Paul ran for office, he ran for two reasons. Obviously, one of them was to get elected. There's no question. And they circumvented that. But what they did not circumvent was Ron Paul's ability to get the message out. And he forced them on the campaign stage to discuss the Federal Reserve. As he talked about ending and auditing the Federal Reserve, he forced them to discuss so many topics about foreign policy, about having a humble foreign policy. So you run for office for two reasons. One, to get elected, obviously. But secondly, to hold them to account. And the reason that I spend time on that is the modern movement really grew out of a lot of Ron Paul's efforts. He's not exclusively the key to it, but he's one of the big players. John Stadtmiller was another. Hopefully I'm another. A lot of us that have been in the media for a long time, we all have been working towards this. Well, Richard Mack, he's the president of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'm actually the operations manager for Richard Mack's organization, the CSPOA. So I'm CSPOA operations manager. And we created a document back in 2014 in Las Vegas. We literally had 200-plus sheriffs, law enforcement officials, constitutional attorneys. Chris Ann Hall was one of them. Michael Perutka was another one of them, etc. And we crafted a document called the CSPOA resolution. And we had hoped back in 2014, when we got that thing finalized, that it would be kind of a catalyst to help counties become constitutional. And at first, nobody took us seriously. But when we created that document, even the patriots in the room, it reminded me of kind of the Founding Father era, if you will. The patriots in the room couldn't agree. And our whole efforts were about to be shut down, and we were about to go our own way and not be able to agree and not get the document done. And we literally turned to God in prayer, all of us. And we prayed that we could humble ourselves and dismiss our pride and focus on the things that mattered most, that we could carry out God's will. And just like the Founding Fathers with the Constitution, we came together and created this resolution. It's available at the CSPOA.org right now. And it's the 2014 resolution. If anybody needs it, I can send it to you. But here's the deal. In that resolution, we set the standard for how to call out any public official. Because what you do is you ask them to read this and sign it. And if they'll sign it, it almost becomes an incredible litmus test about how constitutional they are. And if they won't sign it, it tells you they need to be replaced. So anyway, long story short, we've been able to work with counties now. And we literally have counties that have declared themselves constitutional counties. And every public official has been willing to sign our resolution. And in Elko, Nevada, the county became a constitutional county. And literally, the county commissioners, the sheriff, and the district attorney all completely agreed. They had unanimous vote. Yes, we'll become a constitutional county. They joined the CSPOA as a constitutional county. They took our 2014 resolution, and they said, because of COVID, your resolution is not strong enough. And they literally added it to it, making it stronger. And they became the first constitutional county in the nation. That just happened several months ago. Since then, several other counties are now becoming constitutional, even some in upstate New York. So we wow. are gaining ground, Americans. Have a little bit of hope. It's going to be a long haul. It's going to be brutal, because as the enemies of liberty get more desperate, they get more crazy. They're psychotic. They're nuts. But understand that we're on God's side, and these constitutional counties are making a tremendous difference. They're telling the feds to take a hike. You've got sheriffs all across the country. Even in Los Angeles County, the sheriff says, I will not mandate vaccines for my department. I'll lose too many sheriffs, too many deputies. I'm not willing to do it. Even L.A. County is boldly standing up with their sheriff now, saying, no, not on my watch. We're not doing this. And so we're seeing tremendous hope, and I believe solutions are in the CSPOA. CSPOA.org if you want to learn more, if you want to join us and get involved. But that's what we're doing. We can help you vet your officials and help you develop a constitutional county wherever you live. Just get a hold of us to do so. But I also believe the new media has taken center stage, sir. And I believe the Republican Network, the Republic Broadcasting Network, has really been at the tip of the spear of this for years. And I think as the new media continues to take center stage, the old media, the old guard, their gatekeeping is over. And I think that the Republic Broadcasting Network is at the center of this, really making a difference. All the groundwork we've laid in the past is now coming to fruition as we take center stage. So make no mistake, in the past, they've been able to shut us down. Now, they don't have near the mojo they once had. Now they're dismissed as yesteryear dishonest media, thanks to Trump and many other people along the way. But as we take center stage with your support, you listeners make a tremendous difference with your donations and your involvement. But I'm just telling you that, hey, the new media is one of the great keys for solutions as well. Because if they can't lie to us, then they can't have their way with us. And that's one of the grand keys as well. Remember, I started out learning in the media when I was very young in this. He who owns the media makes the rules, and we're finding that to be true now. We're starting to make the rules, not them, as we take center stage.
Absolutely, and the more outrageous they get, the more they are shown to be the liars and con artists that they are. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate
their desperation betrays them.
Absolutely, absolutely, Sam. Well, I very much appreciate you coming on with us here for the White Rose Resistance Hour. This is show number 40, and so aside from CSPOA.org. Is it Liberty Roundtable? Please get out.
Yes, LibertyRoundtable.com is my website, and I do a show 2 hours a day in the morning. It's 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. We have hard-hitting talk radio. Like I say, our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and protect life, liberty, and property. If it's constitutional, we love it. If it's not, we hate it.
There we go. Well, thank you, Sam. Sam Bushman, everybody. Appreciate you coming on with us, Sam. There he goes, everybody. Sam Bushman, thank you for coming on.
Delighted, sir, and thank you for all that you do, and thank the listeners for me, too, for all they do for the sacred cause of liberty. God bless.
Absolutely. Thank you. God bless you, too, sir. Thank you, listeners, one and all. Have a great week. I love you. Be safe. Be kind to each other, and we'll see you next Saturday for show number 41 of the White Rose Resistance Hour.
The universe on my hands has written you into the passion play, skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day. Hey, hey,
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.